So many things to be thankful for. So let's talk about joy. Like I said already, hope, peace, maybe even love. Because whether we do or anything about it, we can claim to love, right? So the other three may be fake, but other people are going to know whether you're joyful or not. Maybe not in a given moment, but they will be able to look at a pattern of life and they'll go, I'd like to say yes, but no, I don't really know you as a joyful person. Hey, if you've never been to a community group and you'd like to go to a community group, if you knew it was really going to be a pop zinger of a discussion, I laid a trap for our seniors in our community group discussions this morning. Just saying, if you've never been, this might be the one to go to. Oh, now you're intrigued, right? Let's talk about joy. Maybe you've seen these gals in the news this past week. Or maybe you didn't see it, but you heard this story. A Waffle House worker in Alabama received an unforgettable tip I think it's about a week and a half ago now. A group of ladies, 10 or 11 or so gals, got together, and they went to Waffle House at 6 a.m. in the morning. And they sat down and they spent about $75. Is that a lot for waffles? That seems to me like even for 10 people. But anyway, there they were. They spent about $75 on waffles. And then when the meal was finished, they called their server over, and she's there in the middle right under the double your hash brown sign. I love that. Anyway, they called over their server and they handed her a tip of just over $1,100. Very generous. The group has made a practice of this. You buy into the group. You buy in by giving $100, and the plan is to go and to bless someone. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I love that idea. It's not brand new. I started noticing, and maybe this has gone on even before, but 2016 and 2017, it seems like it was the height of it. In fact, for a while, there was almost national intrigue because these large gifts were being given, and they started to track them. And then finally, someone anonymously took credit and said that they were representing, it was Tips for Jesus, because they were trying to change the perception that Christians were notoriously bad tippers. All right? And so for a while, this was going on. And this website, Gawker, was tracking this. Estimated total, more than $54,000. And the tips just kept coming in. So Ann Arbor, Michigan, $3,000 at Tio's Mexican Cafe, $2,000 at the Alley Bar. In Chicago, $3,000 at the Boundary, $5,000 at Paris Club. Out in California, $10,000 tip was given at the Hungry Cat. And they started, who is doing this? What in the world? And speculation, I don't know if it ever landed on one person, but it was interesting to me that the speculation centered around a guy by the name of Jack Selby, who was a former PayPal VP. Now, again, I don't know what happened, but Jack Selby, this VP from PayPal, he was not known as a joyful person. He was known as the other kind, all right? So I don't know what happened. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the story becomes known someday that the thing that got a hold of Jack Selby was the Lord Jesus? Wouldn't that be glorious? Changed him, and he started to bless people in the name of Jesus. Now, I think probably our first thought is, ooh, what would it feel like to get a $5,000 tip, right? I want you to think of something entirely different, if you would, for a moment. What would it feel like to give a $5,000 tip and to just calmly leave that at the table, not even stick around? Nope. No picture for USA Today. Just walk away. What would that feel like? Or more to the point this morning, here's really where I want to take this. What kind of mood would you have to be in order to even consider it? Right? What would have to be going on in your person to eat? Okay, not $5,000. You're going, it beats me, because that would never. Okay, let's say $500. A stretch, but maybe pop. What kind of mood would you have to be in? Here's the mental monologue that I find doubtful. Life stinks, and this sandwich is just the latest evidence. If Job could see me, he would take pity on me. I hate everybody, and I think I'll leave a $1,000 tip. No. Hey, right? Not going to happen. Something else would have to be going on inside of you in order to think extremely generous. Something else would have to be going on inside of you in order to be truly, truly generous. Society does not need to protect itself from gloomy people who are committing random acts of generosity. It just ain't gonna happen. So we've been learning, we've been trying to declutter this altar that is representative of the altar in our lives. We've been trying to declutter that over a few weeks. We started here, when hope is purified by disappointment, worship finds its voice. Secondly, gift giving tells the truth about contentment when it doesn't bid on peace. That is, when it knows peace comes from somewhere else and doesn't try to buy it. Now today, a joyful heart finds it really hard to be stingy. A joyful heart finds it really hard to be stingy. Let's see if we can see that in Scripture. But first, help me out here. If I'm choosing Christmas cards, I don't know, people aren't doing a lot of that. I saw a lady just the other day, and she was where? At the UPS store. Do you sell stamps? Gal across the counter says, yes, we sell stamps. I need 100. The gal says, okay, that'll be, and told her the sum, and she went, ugh. You know, we all knew it, but she got that blast of, oh, my cards are going to cost me dearly this year. So you're picking out cards. One says merry, one says joyful, one says glad, one says happy, one says cheerful. Which one do you choose? Which one of those words do you think really captures the essence of the Christmas story? Kind of hard, isn't it? Got all those words, and they're all generally in the same vein, but they've got nuances, and you're probably going to stand there and go, I don't know. What is it? Well, it's hard to talk about joy without mentioning happiness. It's hard to talk about this topic of joy without mentioning happiness, yet everyone admits that when we talk about happiness, we use it in sort of a superficial way. And we suspect that joy has a little bit more spine in it than mere happiness, right? Probably if I asked you in your community groups to define joy, well, one of the first things that someone would say, and I think probably rightfully so, well, it's more than happiness, right? Joy is more than happiness. And I'll grant that. But listen, I'm afraid that in stiffening up our joy, we might also dampen its mood. We want to have Christian joy, and I'm afraid that so when we think about, oh, let's make it a little bit tougher, we might also dampen its mood. I'm told that room temperature champagne is just not the same as chilled. Wouldn't know myself, but I'm told. Right? How about joy? Joy, dear people, is not happiness with its tinsel removed. The exuberance isn't taken out of it because it's Christian. The delight is not missing because it's joy and not happiness. Joy is not sanctified cheer. It's not church-approved gladness, which we all know is kind of like church dancing. Right? It's none of those things. Joy is joy. Joy is a complex delight. I'm going to give you three things. Joy is a complex delight that, number one, sustains you at the very bottom. The bottom of your experience. James 1 says, "My brothers and sisters, consider it nothing but joy when you fall under all sorts of trials." What? Yeah, at the very bottom. And when you fall into them, that's where at the bottom, right? When you fall into those things, consider it nothing but joy. Secondly, joy is this complex delight, sustains you at the bottom, and it abides all the way through. Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say it, and there's that command. Again, I'm telling you, rejoice. Do it. Very close to fake it till you make it. Very close to, no, rejoice and watch your heart follow. Decide to do it and watch your heart follow into the spirit of joy. Joy is that delight that sustains you at the bottom, abides all the way through, but it also bubbles out in Christmas cheer. It's not just that underneath thing. It also comes to the surface. And here we have the story of the Magi. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen, when it rose, went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. Deep mystery. I don't know what that looked like. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly. I'm reading something different. I want you to notice that. I'm reading in the ESV, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. The NIV that I put up there says they shouted joyfully. Those are quite a bit different. And I wanted to point that out. I'm not sure exactly the way it ought to be. I looked into it a little bit, but it's kind of a complex translation decision to try to choose. But it turns out, according to the ESV, that the Magi were German Mennonites. And I'm not picking on anybody but myself here. You understand that my German Mennonite heritage, when we absolutely can't contain ourselves anymore, our facial features soften just a little, almost imperceptibly to most people. But that's the way we express uncontrollable, giddy joy, okay? Well, listen here. Here's the way the ESV, they translated four words. We got four Greek words here in the Hebrew. It's they rejoiced. The word means calmly happy. You see where I'm coming from? Calmly happy, exceedingly violent. The word literally is violent, all right? With great mega joy. And there's the thing again, calm delight. How do you put that together? They calmly, happily, with violence, had mega delight. German Mennonites, that's them right there. I don't know. I'm just guessing that it's probably an idiom, right? It's words that collectively kind of confusing to us, but the phrase altogether would lead to the translators in the NIV saying they shouted joyfully. I'm not sure what to do with it, but somehow they felt good about the situation, right? They felt good about it. Well, with that biblical data, let's start here. Joy is gladness that runs deeper than pain and higher than pleasure. Joy is a gladness that runs deeper than pain, not just down there, though. It's also higher than pleasure that's based on circumstances. Do you know this joy? Oh, I wish that for you. I wish that for you. Do you know this kind of joy? Have you ever caught yourself in a moment of exuberance when it's all going right? And in that moment when everything is right with the world, you have known that there is a steadiness in you that's not dependent upon the celebration you're having in that moment. That even in the midst of, my family kind of went wacko last night when Pitt beat Wisconsin. I'm not sure what the problem, yeah, see them all nodding? See, German Mennonites, a lot of them. They're going at it right now. They're, yeah, would not look good in a soccer match.
Right, goal.
They kind of went nuts over that victory last night. But have you ever been in that situation where, yes, what I wanted really just happened, and yet in a detached sort of a way you said, yeah, there's something greater going on in me right now than that celebration. It's better than that. It's better than the best feeling. It's got to be joy. Have you ever found yourself in a sad situation, and yet you, again, that detachment, and then there's been a secure sense of contentment in it? Hard to explain. Sad moment, tear rolling down your cheek, and yet, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay, even in the middle of all of this. If you have found that, congratulations. If you have not found that, I hope you'll keep looking. I believe with all my heart that it's to be found in the person of Jesus Christ. I hope you'll keep looking until that's yours. Where does this joy come from? Joy is just a little giddy that my personal story enjoys a part in God's larger story. Joy, just a little bit giddy, it's that experience, it's that feeling that my personal story enjoys a part in God's larger story. We did a little bit of a New Testament survey about joy. Now let's look again at the Christmas story here. Luke chapter 2, Brian already read it. Now there were shepherds nearby living out in the field, keeping guard over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were absolutely terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, listen carefully, for I proclaim to you good news that brings great joy to all the people." Great joy. Okay, what's the news? What's the news? What comes after the colon? "Today your Savior is born in the city of David. He is Christ the Lord." I think there's a shot at what joy is if we describe it this way. Perhaps you'll, I'm sure, come up with a better definition. Joy is the positive feeling that we get when we value God's presence, promises, and work in our lives. When we value God's presence, promises, and work in our lives. So this angel comes and says, good news. What is that good news? Let's look at it just word by word here. A Savior. Good news. This is going to cause great joy everywhere. It's good news. And it starts out this way. It's a Savior. This is a new kind of visit from heaven, people. If you think about it, this is a new kind of visit from heaven. God appeared at Sinai, and maybe some of those shepherds were afraid this was a new Sinai. That was not a pleasant experience, if you'll recall. It was not like that. It was a revelation of God that was terrifying, and that's the way they started out. Terrified. Oh, no. God revealed? Not up to it today, right? It's not that. The Lord also visited Sodom, remember? It was a day of visitation from God. It was discovery and judgment. And it's possible that the shepherds thought, oh no, I remember my Bible stories. What if this visitation has something to do like that? Oh no. But the angel says today, a Savior. Today a Savior. That's... oh, what a relief. This is that kind of visit. God coming as a Savior. He says, the angel says, a Savior is born. A Savior is born? A Savior is born? That's a different kind of a manifestation. That's a different kind of a visitation. Haven't seen that before. An incarnation, a mediator, God in the flesh. I'm puzzled. Today, a Savior is born. Christ the Lord, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Promised King is born, and He's a Savior. Yes, this is good news that brings great joy to all the people. In the Old Testament, there were punctuations of joy. You read this in the Psalm. Punctuation, joy here and there where God delivered. When you read the New Testament as a whole, you get a different picture. It's not a rare response. Joy becomes a quality of life. Not a rare response because God delivers in a moment of time, but a quality of life that covers all circumstances in the New Testament. And it's based on a new reality sourced in this revelation. Right here. All of that manger. Good news. Great joy for all people, right here in this announcement. Now, we've got to take this one step further. Joy isn't satisfied with a private party. Joy, it just isn't. It's not satisfied with an all-alone experience. Joy generously draws others into celebration. We switch over from the shepherds to the Magi a little bit further in Matthew chapter 2, verse 9. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They fell down, they worshiped him. And then, opening their treasure, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right? And suddenly, it's not just private worship. Suddenly, it's a worship service with the Magi showing their generosity. Add to the Magi. Past the book of Acts, into the book of Acts, and down into Corinthians. Joy generously draws others into celebration, and sometimes it's with tangible generosity. Listen here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul writes, "Now we make known to you, brothers and sisters, the grace of God given to the churches of Macedonia, that during a severe ordeal of suffering, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in the wealth of their generosity." Paul says, "I have seen an amazing thing wrought by the hand of God in people's lives. I have seen people who were in abject poverty, but when mixed with the joy of their salvation, they found a way to give. They found a way to be generous. That joy mixed with any circumstance has a surprising outcome." And Paul makes that connection very clear. Joy goes with generosity. And how about this story from the USA Today just yesterday? 12 years ago, things were really tough for Jeff and Krista Butts of New Hampshire. Things were really rough. In fact, they were dependent through the Christmas season on gifts from their church in order to buy Christmas presents for their kids. And they were also getting regular food supplies just to, enhance what they had at home because they just weren't quite making it. Well, Krista had just squirreled away enough money that she was going to take the boys down and get them haircuts at Great Clips for Christmas. And so she had saved up enough money, and they went down to Great Clips, got the kids, the boys, their haircuts, and when she went to pay, she discovered that somebody anonymously ahead of her paid for all those boys to get their haircuts. What did she do? Well, she was overwhelmed at first. She was joyful, and she went to Walmart. And she went to Walmart that very same day, as I understand it, and she bought three $10 gift cards with her boys, and she said, "Here you go, boys. You go look around Walmart and give these gift cards to the people you think needs it the most." Same day. Blessed at the haircut, turns around, "Boys, you got to get this. You got to see what's going on here. You go bless someone else." Well, the boys found some mom who was going down through the aisles with kids in the cart, you know, and parading alongside, and they kept pestering mom and said, "Can we have this? Can we have this?" And they overheard mom consistently say, "No, not now. We can't afford it. We can't get that. We can't guide some of the things that we usually do. And so the boys decided to give their cards to that gal. That was 12 years ago. Since that day, they started doing 7 days of blessing people with at Christmas. 7 days of kindness at Christmas. Then it got bigger. Now, currently, 12 years later, it's 25 days. And all the days leading up to Christmas, their family figures out ways every single day we're going to bless somebody somehow with some act of kindness. Where did it start? It started with someone else joyfully blessing them and erupted in generosity that is surviving years and has become a heritage for this family. They're blessing others. They're bringing others into the joy. Out of the abundance of their joy has grown this great generosity. Life is hard. I get it. Life is hard. But those of us who have heard the glad tidings that this angel brought have a different line of reasoning. We tend to think this way. Job and I both have no trouble. I am dearly loved. The Lord Jesus is my rock and salvation forevermore. I should be dancing. Who will dance with me? Always running through us. Always, always, always. That's the song we hear. We should be dancing. A joyful heart finds it really hard to be stingy. Joy gives money to support Pastor Sasha in Ananya. Some of you are doing that. Bless you. You're also, as we heard, supporting the work of this church. Bless you. That's coming from a place of joy. Joy also says, I love you, when people really need to hear it. Joy says, I'm proud of you. Joy notices work that's done well and says, you know what? You're amazing. Thank you. Joy lets a hurtful comment go. It's generous that way too. Joy shrugs off a hurtful comment and actually forgets it. Actually, truly lets it go. Joy serves at its own expense. There's all kinds of generosity in joy. Has your generosity learned to tap into joy? Has your generosity learned to tap into joy? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to learn our lessons. We want to clear the altar this morning. And man, it's possible. I don't know. Maybe people here today have even been burned by situations in churches with asking for money and maybe being arm twisting and doing that kind of thing. And somehow giving and generosity has gotten totally broken away from joy. I pray just for all of us, whether that extreme or whether we just need a tune-up this morning, that you would help us again to connect our own generosity with the joy that we have in Jesus Christ. And we pray that in His name. Amen.